And our assigned lectionary gospel reading for this Sunday comes from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. These are a couple of parables that Jesus tells. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. I love the parables of Jesus. They are remarkably insightful nuggets of wisdom undergirding the very mission and ministry of Jesus, which is the ushering in of the realm or the kingdom of God in the here and now as well as in the future. This realm is a reflection of what the world would be like if the ways of God were truly expressed in how we lived. It's a way of living and being in relationship with all of creation, thus a kingdom, understood primarily through Jesus' teaching to love God, to love our neighbor, and to love ourselves. Now, this realm is a place of peace, equity, and justice, where everyone is treated with equal respect and dignity and compassion, hospitality, fairness, and full inclusion. No one parable, however, reveals all there is to know about the realm and kingdom of God in our midst. So we're fortunate that today's lectionary contains two of what are known as a collection of seed parables. And these two, as we'll see, are enhanced when looked at together. And both are intended to encourage the community of faith with confidence in the dawning and expansion of God's realm. And the first, often called the parable of the seed growing secretly, which is found only in the Gospel of Mark, states that someone scatters seeds on the ground, then goes about the ordinary routine of daily life, sleeping and rising each day. However, this person doesn't know how the seed sprouts, and doesn't know how it grows to maturity, producing grain that's ready for harvest. So we learn that our role in participating in the growth of the realm and kingdom of God is to scatter seeds far and wide through our words and our actions, which as a community of faith do indeed reflect our mission and ministry, our efforts inside and outside the church. And like planting seeds in a real garden, even with all the nurture that we can provide, we don't always know if and when the seed will germinate and grow. Biblical commentator Douglas Hare relates this dilemma somewhat humorously to those of us who preach each Sunday. He writes, "The parable has brought comfort to many a preacher who has faithfully planted the good news without seeing much in the way of results. In some cases, it takes years for a seed to germinate. The work of the Spirit is invisible. We must not assume that nothing is happening when no dramatic changes can be seen." Well, I learned this long ago in and through my work in youth ministry at my home church outside of Houston before I attended seminary. Yet I find evidence of seeds that have grown through how many of those 7th and 8th graders from 30 plus years ago continue to connect with me, having friended me on Facebook and social media. But it is most likely parents, though, who know best what it is like to plant seeds in the hearts and minds of their children, not always knowing if those seeds will take root and grow. So hopefully you can find encouragement and comfort in these words as well. For each and every time we interact with another human being, we have the opportunity to plant seeds of love and kindness and compassion, even if it involves discipline, or standing firm in what we believe is the right thing to do. An important question to reflect upon then is this: what kind of seeds have you been planting recently? What kind of seeds have we as a congregation been planting? This parable teaches us that it is foolish to think that we can build the realm and kingdom of God on earth or within ourselves in and through our own efforts alone. Although we must strive constantly to be effective signs of its presence, its establishment and growth is accomplished by God, by God's grace. And that's why some of us progressive pastors in town, in our pursuit of social justice, make the distinction between social advocacy on its own and approaching this work within the context of ministry, where the motivation, empowerment, and perseverance come from God's presence in and through our work. Now, that does not mean, however, that the work of those agencies and organizations isn't a form of ministry in and of itself, because I most definitely think it is. So it's primarily more about how one approaches one's work and works efforts, regardless of the profession of which someone finds themselves. So this leads to our second parable, a more familiar one known as the parable of the mustard seed. This very tiny seed is not much larger than the head of a pin, yet when it matures, it becomes a very large bush. Large enough, in fact, that birds can nest in its branches. And this parable emphasizes, of course, the contrast between its tiny beginning and its great conclusion. It shows how great things can come from small, even unpromising beginnings. And you may have noticed examples of this principle in your own life, perhaps in your occupation or within a relationship. What may seem almost insignificant to you or me at first may grow into something strong and beautiful. Look at the early church, for example. Jesus did not attract many big shots. A few fishermen, a taxman, a few women, beggars, political zealots, restored lepers, and former demoniacs. This was the front line of the movement that would become a new world religion. Judged by the standards of the world, with its emphasis on the quantity of power, money, and people, Jesus' earliest ministry had to be regarded as a failure, especially since he, as the founder and leader, suffered a shameful death. So what could be less promising for the beginnings of Christianity? And in the time when Mark wrote his gospel, some 30 plus years after the death of Jesus, the early church was being ostracized and persecuted. And that is why the message of the mustard seed parable is meant to be one of reassurance then and now, especially in the decline of mainline denominationalism. But here's something to think about. Is Jesus really referring only to the growth and spread of Christianity in this and other parables? Well, I used to believe so, but I no longer do. After all, Jesus was a Jew, and there was no such thing as Christianity when he first told these parables. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't find meaning in them as it pertains to the growth of Christianity, but I don't believe they were originally that exclusive. After all, he wasn't talking about the church. He was talking about the kingdom of God, to use its scriptural language. And that then doesn't necessarily mean to be restricted to Christianity, but may indeed pertain to the entire human family. It becomes an entire way of life and being in relationship, granted, with the ways of Jesus as our guide and model, as opposed to what we refer to as the ways of the world. And in Jesus' day, that particularly meant the ways of Caesar. In other words, the kingdom of men, not of God. So yes, the realm and kingdom of God can include people from other faith traditions, not just Christianity, even though some would consider this heretical for saying so from a Christian pulpit. But since this parable is also one about growth, biblical scholars are convinced that Jesus was well aware of the ancient images used to describe Israel in the Hebrew scriptures, what we call the Old Testament. And the key to understanding why Jesus compared the realm and kingdom of God to a mustard seed lies in how people compared the kingdom of Israel to a mighty cedar tree, like we heard in this morning's Old Testament reading from Ezekiel 17. Ezekiel tells us how God is going to take a sprig from the very top of a mighty cedar tree and plant it on a high and lofty mountain, referring to Jerusalem. And of this mighty cedar, Ezekiel writes, under it every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. And I'm sure you've noticed that Jesus used nearly an identical phrase in his parable of the mustard seed. Now this phrase, all the birds of the air, was a well-understood figure of speech in the ancient world of the Bible. As mentioned, it was a phrase used by Ezekiel to describe God's intention for the nation of Israel to be open and inclusive to other nations. Well, that had not yet come to fruition in Jesus' time, and it appears to be even further from reality today. But picking up on this, Jesus used the same phrase to talk about God's intention for the inclusive nature of the entire realm and kingdom of God, which is accessible to all people and nations of the world. So this notion would have been a horribly disturbing thought to those ancient Jews who pictured themselves as the only ones included as people of God. And this is a horribly disturbing thought today to those Christians who fancy themselves as the only ones included as the people of God. Yes, it's a sad fact. Too many folks consider themselves to be the only ones allowed to make their nests in the branches in the realm and kingdom of God. And we wonder why so many people today are deciding to simply turn their back on the church, not on God, but on organized religion and its exclusionary ways. Well, needless to say, if we can just get the message out, perhaps many of these folks could find a welcoming and hospitable place here at College Hill, just as you have. Well, it was in the midst of this exclusionary attitude that Jesus talks about God's realm as being amongst the common and the ordinary. That's why he used the imagery of a mustard bush. Because it grew wild throughout the countryside, it was more of a pest. And it was only about 10 feet tall. He makes this distinction as opposed to the one of the mighty cedar tree, the high and mighty, which grew exclusively in Lebanon and reached to a height of over 100 feet. Well, that's called parody, because this comparison between a mustard bush and a cedar tree was meant to poke fun and even criticize. Well, I wish this parable had been the one that guided our Attorney General of the United States this past week. Instead of the passage he took out of context, and I believe irresponsibly, from Romans 13. about faithfully following the law of the land, which he stated was ordained by God in order to justify the forced separation of children from their parents at the border. If nothing else, I wish he had looked further down in that same chapter to read, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. In this regard, our country, as we have seen by numerous other events, such as those which spurned the Black Lives Matter movement and the Me Too movement, we are still far from being that place where all the birds of the air can find a place to build their nests in its branches and to find safety and security in its shade. Yet our hope remains in God and God's grace. And that in and through our actions and attitudes and guided by God's Spirit, we will continue to move and grow even closer to that vision of living fully into the realm and kingdom of God. So let's continue to plant those seeds. Amen.